In the opening verses in 1 Peter 5, the Apostle Peter deals with the important position of the role of an elder within the church. As he addresses this subject, he speaks directly to those who are elders, and he reminds them of the nature of the work that they are to give themselves to. Peter here speaks of how the elder is to provide for God's flock. For he says in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. We can say this is the primary work of an elder. This is the main task of an elder, to feed the flock, to nourish them with the truth, to provide for their spiritual need. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The word instant here sets forth the idea, be always and wholly engaged in this work. Preach the word, be always and wholly engaged in this work. Be one that provides for the flock. Then Peter also instructs those in the eldership that they are to protect God's flock. He says in verse 2, they are to take the oversight thereof. The word oversight means to oversee like a shepherd would his flock. Think of a shepherd overseeing his flock. He watches over them. He wants to protect them from danger. Both danger within in regard to disease and danger without in regard to wild beasts that would devour them. It is the function of an elder to warn God's people of the real dangers that lurk in this world. The dangers of sin and wickedness that are all around us in this evil world. And then Peter also speaks in this passage of how it is the task of an elder to be a pattern for God's flock. He says in verse 3, the elders are to be ensamples to the flock, or examples to the flock. In every aspect of life, the elder is to be an example before the people of God. They're not to drive the sheep from behind, but lead them by walking before them in a Christ-like manner. This is the role and responsibility of the elder within the church of Christ. To provide for God's flock, to protect God's flock, and also to be a pattern before God's flock. And then returning to this passage of scripture today, the subject that I want us to consider is the role of a church member. The role of a church member. You see, after Peter speaks here of the important role of an elder, he then addresses in verses 5 to 7 the important role of a church member. Notice how verse 5 begins. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now what is said here when it speaks of younger and elder is not referring to young people and older people. Peter in these words is not telling all the young Christians he writes to that they're to submit to all the older Christians that he writes to. And just to be clear, young people ought to treat their elders in a respectful and honourable way. Young people are to respect their elders. Leviticus 19:32 declares, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, or the grey or old head, and honour the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Young people should respect their elders. And of course that is very much implied in the fifth commandment. As God says, honour thy father and thy mother. That is those that are older. Young people ought to have this respect for those that are older than them. And so this is God's will, that we treat those who are older than us in an honourable and respectful way. However, this is not what Peter is dealing with here in the opening words of verse 5. You see, the words younger and older, or elder in this verse, refer not to age, but they refer to position. They speak about position. We've already noted how Peter has addressed the elders in the church, and this, of course, was those that held the office or the position of an elder. That's fairly understood. It was those in this office or this position. He's not speaking of the older people in the church, but those who were in the office of the eldership. But now as Peter comes to verse 5, he addresses those that are found in a different position. A different position within the church. And he refers to this position as that of the younger. The younger. Now the term younger as it is used here is simply a reference to all those who are members in the church of Christ. This is how Peter refers to the membership of the church. They are within the church family the younger. The younger. There is a good reason why Peter refers to the members of the church as the younger. And this is something that we will come to in just a moment. But in coming to this passage of Scripture that is before us today, we need to understand that God, through His servant Peter, is dealing with the role of the church member. That's what he's dealing with here in these verses, the role of a church member. This is what Peter's referring to as he says, ye younger. The truth that is then brought before us here is something that every single believer needs to give the closest attention to. This is truth that we need to focus upon and give careful consideration to. Being a member of Christ's flock is a very important and a very solemn thing. It is something which comes with serious responsibilities. Therefore, let us give careful consideration to that which God says in these words. We have thought previously about the role of an elder, and that's a solemn position, a solemn role. And God speaks very directly about these things. But as he moves from the role of an elder to a member, he begins by saying likewise in verse 5. And you know what that teaches us? It teaches us being a member in the church is every bit as solemn a responsibility and duty as it is for an elder to be. An elder in the church. He begins with the word likewise. So in this role of being a member is also a serious thing. A most solemn thing. And so this is what we're coming to consider today. The role of a member within the church. In these verses, there are three main points that Peter draws to our attention in regard to the church member. Today, I want us just to look at the first of these three points, which is the conduct of the church member. The conduct of the church member. This is the first thing that God's servant deals with as he speaks of the church member. He speaks about the conduct of the church member. See again what it says in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, be subject. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Notice in these words, the church member is told to do something. They are told to submit and be subject. This then is how the church member is to behave or conduct themselves. They are to submit and be subject. Now both these words, submit and subject, are taken from the very same Greek word. And that is the word hypotasio. Hypotasio. This Greek word hypotasio is a compound word. That means it is made up from joining two other words together. That's what a compound word is. You take one word and you take another word and you join them together. And they become a compound word. The two words that are joined together to form the word hypotasio are hupa, which means under, and tasso, which means set. Hupo, which means under, and tasso, which means set. Therefore, when these two words, hupa and tasso, are brought together, the meaning is under set, or set under. This then is the thought behind the words submit and subject. In verse 5, they refer to how the church member is to set themselves under their brethren in the church. This is to be the manner of their conduct. This is to be the position that the church member adopts. They are to set themselves under their brethren within the church. They are to submit or be subject. I believe this is why Peter here refers to the membership of the church as the younger. Because this sets forth the idea of submitting and being subject. Generally speaking, young people are under and are subject to their seniors and superiors. This is true in almost every area of life. It's true in the home. The children in the home, well, they're under their parents. They're to be submissive to their parents. The child in school is under their teacher. And they're to be subject to their teacher. Think even of the workplace. The young apprentice is under their mentor. It's under their boss. They're subject to them. Peter then refers to church members as the younger to remind them that their conduct and behavior is to be characterized with submission. They are to set themselves under their brethren. Perhaps today you're thinking, well, I don't like this whole business of submitting. I don't like this whole business of being subject. I'm my own person. I will not be subject to anyone or set myself under them, no matter who they are. And sadly, this is a prevailing attitude in our world of rebellion. I'm not going to submit to anything. I'm the own man. I can do as I please, and no one's going to tell me what to do. And this attitude very much even prevails within the church. Well, I believe that it's very striking to point, or it is a very striking point. Note that the first time this Greek word, hypotasio, is used in the New Testament, it is used in relation to Christ. It is used in relation to Christ. Turn with me for a moment just to Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and the verse 51. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and the verse 51. Notice what it says here about the Lord Jesus. Luke 2 verse 51 says, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "went down with them," that is Mary and Joseph, "and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." The word "subject" here is hypotasio. Now this is the first time this word is used in Scripture. And see here what the Lord Jesus did. He who created the heavens and the earth, he who is the Almighty God, was subject to Mary and Joseph. That is, he set himself under Mary and Joseph. Now, of course, Christ was above Mary and Joseph. He was and is the eternal Son of God. He was the very one that created them. But here, what did he do? He set himself under them. He became submissive to them. He became subject to them. Now, this is the first time the word hypotasso is used in the Bible. And so the Lord is saying to us here, "I, the King of Glory, have done this for your salvation. I have set myself under others. Therefore, this is what you're to do. Submit and be subject to your brethren." Christ here is really the example to us in regard to how we are to behave as church members. He's the great example to us in regard to church membership here. He's the one who submitted himself to Mary and Joseph. Now, as we think of this submission that Peter speaks of here in verse 5, it is important to note that there are two parts to this submission. Two ways the church member is to set themselves under their brethren. In the first place, we see here the church member is to submit themselves to the shepherds within the church. They're to submit themselves to the shepherds within the church. This is clearly brought before us in the opening words of verse 5. See again what it says there in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." The word "elder" here refers to those who are in a position of leadership within the church. Those that are the oversight. Those that are the shepherds in Christ's flock. Therefore, what we're clearly told here is the church member is to submit to those who rightly hold the position of leadership within the work of God. And that's what Peter is saying to God's people. You're to submit yourself to those who rightly hold the position of leadership in the work of God. You're to set yourselves under their care and guidance. Under the care and guidance of the eldership. And this is what Peter was saying to God's people. And this is so important. God's people are to submit to those who are in leadership in the church. We're to put ourselves under them and be submissive to them. This truth is brought before us on numerous occasions in God's word. Listen to the words of Hebrews 13 verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Again, this very same truth is set forth here. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And the Lord is very clear here. This is how we are to behave as church members. Paul declared to the believers in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 5 in the verse 2, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." We beseech you. Think of Paul's words there. He's really exhorting them. He said, "We beseech you, we plead with you as members of Christ's church. Know them that labor among you." And the word "know" there means willingly comply. Willingly comply with them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This then is how the church member is to conduct themselves. Submit to the leadership within the work of God. Submit to the eldership that the Lord has established in His church. Now perhaps you're thinking, well, what if I don't agree with the leadership in the church? What if I'm not happy with how things are being done? Are not being done? This is something that does happen. It would be foolish just to ignore this. This is a reality. These things do happen. We read earlier in number 16 of how there were people in Israel that were not happy with Moses' leadership. They weren't happy with it. Moses is one of the greatest men of God. And he was one of the greatest leaders God's people had. And yet there were people not happy with him. In fact, if you read about Moses, you will see that continually throughout his ministry, there was always people not happy with him. Chipping away and backbiting and criticizing and attacking his leadership. This happened continually. It was endless for Moses. The mighty Moses. And so, this is something that happens. How then should we behave if we are not happy with the leadership within the church? How should we behave? How should we conduct ourselves? Well, the first thing we need to consider is the difficulty or problem that I have a matter of opinion or a matter of the truth? Now, this is vital. Really, this is what it all boils down to. Is the problem that I have, is the issue that I have a matter of opinion or a matter of the truth? Let me give you an example. Whether the congregational prayer meeting is on Thursday night or Wednesday night is only a matter of opinion. It's only a matter of opinion. It's not right or wrong to have it on Wednesday night. It's not right or wrong to have it on a Thursday night, or a Tuesday night, or a Monday night, or a Friday night. It's only a matter of opinion. Some people think, well, maybe it's best this night, and others maybe, oh, it's best that night. But it's only a matter of opinion. By contrast, if the church leadership said they no longer believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and said, listen, we're getting rid of the Scriptures, we don't believe it to be God's Word any longer, we're going a different direction, well, that's not a matter of opinion. That's a matter of the truth. That's fundamental. That's solemn. That's serious. That's denying the faith. Do you see the difference? One's only a matter of opinion, but the other's actually dealing with the truth and what is absolutely essential and important. Now, in all matters of opinion, let me be clear about this. In all matters of opinion, the church member is to submit to the leadership of the church. In all matters of opinion, they are to submit to the leadership. You mightn't agree with it. And let me say this, even within a session and a committee, there might be disagreements. But in matters of opinion, we are to submit to one another. And submit to the consensus within the session or committee. And so in all matters of opinion, the church member is to submit. But in matters of truth, the church member is only to submit to the leadership insofar as they hold to the truth. They're only to submit to the leadership insofar as they hold to the truth. If the things that I preach from this pulpit are not the truth, then You're under no obligation to give heed, obey, or submit. And I say that most solemnly today. If what I preach, if what I declare is not the truth, then not only are you under no obligation to submit, but you would be well advised not to submit, but to utterly reject it. Listen to what the great apostle Paul said to the believers in Galatia, in Galatians 1, 8 and 9. He said this, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Think of what Paul was saying there. He was saying, this is the truth. He pointed to the gospel of Christ. He pointed to the word of God. He said, this is the truth. Now, if I come along, and he actually pointed at himself. He said, if I come along, or even if an angel from heaven comes along and preaches something that is contrary to this truth, let him be accursed. And do you know what the word accursed means? It includes the idea of being utterly rejected. It's the opposite to submission. The complete opposite to submission. And so this is exactly what Paul said. He said to the church members in Galatia, listen, if someone preaches another gospel, if someone contradicts the truth of God's word, then let him be accursed. Utterly reject him completely. And so this is what we are to do with that which is false. Utterly rejected. However, if that which I preach from the pulpit is the truth, if that which I set forth here Lord's Day by Lord's Day is founded upon the word of God, then every member of Christ's church has a solemn duty to submit to the instruction and direction that is given. That's the flip side. Oh yes, if it's not the truth, reject it. I'd wholly reject it. But if it is the truth, embrace it, obey it, submit to it, and wholly be subject to it. This is how the church member is to conduct themselves. They are to set themselves under the pastoral care of those who watch for their souls. Submit to it. Care and guidance and direction that is given by those who are their shepherds. Now let me be clear here. It is a very solemn and serious thing when God's people do not submit to biblical leadership. And I really feel this needs to be stated in our times. Because people in our age where there is a spirit of rebellion are very quick just to get up and head off when things don't please them. That happens in the church. Thing doesn't please them. They're not happy with something. Up and away. Straight away. Not willing to submit. That's a very solemn thing. Very solemn thing. You see, refusing to submit to biblical leadership is to defy and reject Christ himself. And I want us to be clear about this. People think they can sit in churches and say, listen, well, I'll take this bit and I'll ignore that bit. It's not really a big deal. It is a big deal. It's to defy Christ himself. This is something that we see most clearly in 1 Samuel 8. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 8 for a moment. Let me encourage you to turn to this passage because it is a very, very solemn subject. 1 Samuel 8. Notice what it says here in verse 4. Here we have, we could say, a church setting. The elders of Israel coming together, the people of Israel. 1 Samuel 8, verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Of course, Israel were not to have a king. The Lord was their king. But these people wanted a king. They didn't want to submit. Verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now notice the words in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the Lord, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Here we see the people of Israel would not listen to Samuel, the man who was God's faithful servant. They wouldn't heed what he said. They wouldn't heed his preaching. And this annoyed Samuel. But notice what God says to him. They have not rejected thee, Samuel. They haven't rejected thee, Samuel. But they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, this is what happens when there is a refusal to submit to righteous and biblical instruction given by the leadership of the church. Christ is rejected. Christ is rejected. I want you to think about this very carefully today. I want you to apply this to your own life today. When we refuse to listen to the leadership, the biblical, and remember we're speaking about true, biblical, righteous leadership, biblical preaching. When we refuse to submit to this, what are we doing? We are rejecting Christ. Turn our backs upon him. It's not the preacher that you're ignoring. It's not the eldership that you're ignoring when you refuse to submit. Oh, be aware of this today. This is really what I'm trying to get at. It is not me. It is not those in the eldership with me that you're ignoring and just turning your backs upon. It's Christ. That's how serious this is. And so the church member is to submit themselves to the shepherds within the church. But then notice with me here, secondly, as we think about the conduct of the church member, the church member is to submit themselves to the saints within the church. See again what it says in 1 Peter 5 in the verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Notice now the words, yea, all of you be subject one to another. These words refer to how church members are to behave in relation to each other. How they are to treat one another. And what we learn here is, within the church, God's people are not only to submit to the eldership or the leadership, but they are to submit one to another. They are to submit to their brethren within the church family. This truth is also brought before us in other places in the New Testament. Listen to the words of Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so within the church family there is to be a submitting one to another. We are to be subject to our fellow brethren, to the other members within the house of God. Of course, the great question is, what does this actually mean? What does this actually mean? Does it mean that whatever our brothers and sisters say to us, we must obey them? If they tell us to do something, well, we must get at it right away. Is that what it means here? Can it mean this? For God's word is clear. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. We're to obey just those that are in leadership and the eldership of the church. What then is Peter saying here as he declares to all the members of Christ's church? Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Well, what Peter's saying is, as church members, we are to submit ourselves to the task of helping our fellow believers in the house of God. That's what he's saying. We are to submit ourselves to the task of helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember what the word subject here means? It literally means set under. Set under. Well, the members in Christ's church are to set themselves under the task of helping their brethren in Christ. And this is what Peter is saying. Remember, we're thinking about the conduct of the church member. How should they behave in the house of God? They should set themselves under this task of helping their fellow brethren. This is what these words, yea, all of you be subject one to another, mean. But there are many ways we are to be subject one to another in this sense. Many ways we are to help one another. The Word of God teaches us we are to support one another. We're to support one another. Paul told the believers in Galatia, in Galatians 6 and 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 12 and 12 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. God's people, as God's people, this is the task that we are to submit ourselves to. Supporting our brethren in their weakness. Bearing their burdens. Lifting up those who are downcast and weary. We are to support our brethren in their physical weakness. The New Testament speaks about helping the poor, visiting the sick. And these are practical matters. But God's word draws attention to it. This is the way we are to support our brethren, even in a physical sense. We are to support our brethren in their weakness spiritually. When they fall into sin, when they're wayward and they have doubts, we're to seek to support them. Set ourselves onto this task. We're to support one another as we help our brethren. We're to strengthen one another as well. This is another way the church member is to submit to their brethren. Submit to the task of strengthening them. Listen to the words of Hebrews 10 verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The word provoke here has the idea of prodding. Prodding. And really the picture is of a farmer prodding an ox as he's trying to drive that animal forward. He takes the goad or the prod and he prods it. And this is what Paul is saying to God's people. Prod one another, as it were, in regard to spiritual things. Strengthen one another. Encourage one another in the right direction. This is what happens through Christian fellowship. And how important Christian fellowship is. Not speaking about just meeting to gossip, but meeting to speak about Christ. Meeting to discuss the truth. And this is what happens as believers come together and they discuss the truth, they discuss Christ. They prod one another. They strengthen one another. Proverbs 27 and 17 reminds us, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. As God's people, we should always be looking out ways whereby we can strengthen and encourage our brothers and sisters in the faith. We're not to live as monks in separation from one another. That's popish. But we are to look out for one another as members of God's household and encourage, provoke one another in the ways of truth and righteousness. And so to help one another, we are to support one another, we are to strengthen one another. We're also to stand one for another. Stand one for another. When the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, there were 2.5 tribes which said they would not go in, or they didn't want to go in. These tribes were the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And they said, no, we're not going to go into the promised land. We want to stay on this side of the river Jordan. And we want to inherit this land. It's good for our cattle. It's good for what we want to do. And we're not designed to go over Jordan and to take our inheritance there. Well, listen to what Moses said to these people in Numbers 32, verses 6 and 7. He said this, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? This is what Moses said to these people. Now we should note, these tribes did go to war. And they in the end did stand faithful with their brethren. And they were very commended. What they did was very commendable. But these words of Moses reminded them that this was their duty. To stand side by side with their brethren in God's cause. He said, you can't stand here or sit here on this side of Jordan while your brethren go to war. You must stand with them. You must fight with them. Side by side. And taking God's work forward. This is still the duty of the church member. Let me say this. This is still the duty of the church member. How many church members it could be said of? Shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? When it comes to the midweek prayer meeting, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? when it comes to the Lord's Day evening service, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? Wherefore, discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel, or discourage ye the heart of your brethren by your absence? Be not standing with them side by side in the day of battle. This is what we are today as brethren. Remember, we're thinking about setting ourselves under and helping and supporting and strengthening our brethren. We're to stand side by side with them. The same thought is brought out in 1 Corinthians 12. As Paul likens the church unto a body with many members. Many members. A human body with many members. If the church body is to function properly, then every member of that body must play their part. You're a member of this church. You have a part to play. And if you're absent in the day of battle, if you're absent from the times of worship or from the work of God, then the whole body suffers because of that absence. This is what we are to submit to our brethren in this sense. To support one another, to strengthen one another, to stand one for another. Of course, also to supplicate one for another. God's people are told in James 5:16, pray one for another. This is what we are to continually do as members of Christ's church. Submit ourselves to the task of praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Remembering them in private prayer. And praying with them in public prayer. This then is the conduct of the church member. We are to live lives of submission. Submitting to God's shepherds in the church and submitting to God's saints in the church. This should be the manner and character of our conduct. Part of Christ's church, we're part of his body. Therefore, let's submit to this. Let's put ourselves under God's word. Let's live according to God's truth. Maybe this is not how you've been behaving. Let me just say this in closing today. Maybe as we've thought upon God's word, you've thought, well, you know, this has really found me out. This has exposed the reality of where I am spiritually. And what I'm doing and how I'm living is not right. Well, put it right. Put it right. This is the only thing to do. This is the right thing to do. Submit to God's word even today. Submit to God's truth. And join with your brethren. Taking God's work forward. May God help us even to graciously submit to his word today. And behave as the members of Christ's church ought to behave. Submitting and being subject to the elders and to their brethren. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.